Thank you. Amen. You may take your seats. Praise the Lord. Just while I get myself together here, I just want to thank the Lord for my salvation. Used to be a messed up heroin addict. Homeless, suicidal. I thank God for his grace. I want to thank Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, who are in Mexico right now, looking at whales and being fed the word of God by the elders and the regionals. How many know our pastors? They need to get fed as well, man. They need to get restored. They need a bit of time off. They need to, they need to let their hair down, man. So I want to thank them for the opportunity to stand here tonight. Pastor Kevin as well, and the rest of the leadership. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love you, man. Open up your Bibles, please, with me tonight. How many know time is of the essence? And I have a word to drop. And I believe that's a word for, it's a word for me, and I believe it's a word for the whole church right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just as you're getting there, amen, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Father, for your amazing grace, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you, my God, tonight, my God, for every soul, my God, that is under the sound of my voice, has made it here tonight. We thank you for your traveling mercies. Release the supernatural. Release miracles, healing, breakthrough, deliverance. Let there be a release in this house tonight. Let your word go forward, as it says, it does not come back void. It does exactly what it says in the tin. And I thank you tonight, my God, that you are my God and you are our God. And if you are for us, hallelujah, then who can be against us? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Before I read that, I just want to share another scripture with you. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. It says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And another version, it says, where there is no fuel, the fire goes out. Keeping that in mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 17. Reading for a new international version this week. For some reason, I couldn't find my other Bible last week. But amen, praise the Lord. God knows what we need. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Somebody say, preach, white boy. I'll try my best. Right now we're in a season that's cold outside. Right now we're in a season, I believe, where there is a shaking going on, where there is a challenging going on, where there is a testing going on, where there is a tempting going on. I believe we're in a season right now which is crucial. I believe for those that hang on through this month and through the next and up and coming weeks, that the blessing is there. But I also know that for those who give up right now, that there's nothing there. If you want to take notes and you want to put a heading towards this tonight, the heading will be praying with fire. Praying with fire. Notice it's a clever wordplay on playing with fire. Too many times we want to play with fire and not expecting not to get burnt. But tonight we're going to be praying. We're going to be talking about praying with fire. Going to give you a little bit of a chemistry class. Don't worry, I never took chemistry at school. Amen. I had to study it off the internet. Praying with fire. Don't know if anybody's ever seen that internet sensation. Oh Lord Jesus, there's a fire. Only a couple of you seen it. Amen. Well, check it out tonight on YouTube. Just type in Sweet Brown. Amen, and watch it. Lord Jesus, there's a fire. How many know that was confirmation from a word, man, right there? That was confirmation from a word. Amen. I'm going to give you a bit of a chemistry lesson. Amen. I've learned this off the internet, and it's no Wikipedia, amen, so it's cool. It's fireproof. Fire consists of three elements. Heat, fuel, and oxygen. Heat, fuel, and oxygen. Without each one of these, when one of these is missing, the fire goes out. Or if one of them is missing, the fire can't start. Now, I started off in Proverbs 26, verse 20, because it's a scripture that I really, really like. Because although it's talking about quarreling and arguing and strife and everything else, it's also a true story. That if you do not stock up your fire, if you do not put petrol in your car, if you do not put food in your belly, you will eventually conk out. You will eventually run out of fuel, pull over at the side of the road, stick your four ways on, and you'll end up being a hazard. You'll end up causing other people to slow down. You'll end up causing other people to stop. You'll end up causing other people to break down. So it's important that we understand that all the elements of fire have to be together in order for the fire to grow. Now, one of the reasons that the Lord has me speak upon this message tonight is because I believe as it's winter season, and I believe that there's people in this place tonight that need some fire. I believe this is a word for the church tonight, that people in this place tonight have been going through some stuff, have been tested to the max, have been pushed further than they've ever been pushed before, are facing many challenges right now that they've never faced before with such velocity and with such temperature and with such passion, with such pressure. But the way out is fire. The elements of fire, I guess again, I say there's heat, fuel, and oxygen. When I began to look at this, and when I began to study the elements of fire, I began to realize and began to see the parallels. All through the Bible talks about God being an all-consuming fire. He talked to Moses through the burning bush. He led the Egyptians by fire at night and by cloud at day. He is the God of fire, a consuming fire. And I believe that some of us have been looking at the wrong places. I believe that some of us have been looking at the wrong people. I believe some of us have took our eyes off the prize. I believe that some of us have forgot what kind of God we serve. I believe some of us have brought God into our size and belittled him and brought him down and thought to ourselves, oh, who is this God? My troubles are too big. But I come to tell you tonight, God is a God who answers by fire. When I looked at heat, because how many know? You can have oxygen, and how many know? Some of us have got a lot of oxygen. Hello. Some of us should come with a health warning. And you can have fuel. But if you don't have no heat, then the fire ain't going to start. So when I looked into the word heat, I began to understand that heat is a type of energy. That heat is a type of energy. And then when I began to look into fuel, I began to understand and I looked through it and I realized that the very first and the most common type of fuel is wood. Right back in the ancient times, wood was the cheapest commodity. It grew on earth. You know, God blessed us. You know, God raised it up from a seed. You know, God knows exactly what you need when you need it. So the wood or the fuel is wood. Then I began to look at oxygen. And I began to look at it and I began to understand that in order for us to live, in order for us to breathe, we need oxygen. So oxygen helps us to breathe. And what God and the Holy Ghost began to show me was that some of us have been looking at the wrong places. have been taking our eyes off of God, have been placing it on man, have been placing it on women, have been placing it on bank balances, have been placing it on our ministry, have been having pity parties with our little self, have been thinking, oh, how come me, how come my? When really, when you want fire, and if you need fire in your life, then when you break it down, what I've just explained to you there, the energy, the wood, and the breath. So in other words, when you mumble all these words up somehow, what you get is when you energetically breathe about the wood. Now I'm looking at a wood up on that wall right now, that if I begin to wax lyrical about the power, about the cross, when I begin to speak enthusiastically about the cross of Calvary, when I begin to speak, when I begin to breathe, when I begin to get passionate, when I begin to put some energy into my prayers, when I begin to realize that there is power in this cross, when I begin to realize that the devil was defeated, when I begin to realize that Jesus never said, I am finished on the cross. He said, it is finished on the cross. When we look to this cross and we see the blood on the cross, we can stand and we can shout. And listen, you don't have to be beat about no more. You don't have to be slapped about no more. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, it purchased the blood, it purchased salvation. We can possess salvation. It's purchased salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the cross of Calvary. But too many times when we get in a situation and too many times when we get low, we forget what kind of God we serve. We forget what the power of the cross is. We forget that there's healing in the cross. We forget that there's salvation in the cross. We forget that there's mercy in the cross. We forget that He is the God of the cross. We forget that everything led to the cross and everything must lead back to the cross. It's time, church. It's time that we put our energy and it waxing lyrical about the word. I don't know about you. My Bible says, on that cross, not that one, obviously. My Bible says that on a cross just like that, over 2,000 years ago, the devil was defeated. Doesn't matter if it's the New Living Translation, the Message Translation, doesn't matter what translation you've got, the Bible says the exact same. The devil was defeated. Jesus rose from the grave, and is coming back soon. Church, we have to take our eyes off of our situation. And we have to look back to that cross. Listen, some churches are preaching a crossless message. Some denominations are preaching a bloodless cross. Some denominations don't even understand what the cross is. They've lost all knowledge of the cross. They've lost the power of the cross. It's been mixed up somewhere from generation to generation. The power of the cross has been dampened. It's been weakened. It's been softened. But listen, the Bible says that in order to get that fire back in our life, listen, we have to begin to look to the cross. We have to begin to speak about the cross. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What that says to me is when you begin to confess what the blood has done in your life, when you begin to tell the devil what the blood has done in my life, when you begin to tell the enemy, the bank manager, the devil, your part, whoever it is, when you begin to wax lyrical about the blood of Jesus, when you begin to wax lyrical that there is power in the blood, there is healing in the blood, there is freedom in the blood, there is deliverance in the blood. Don't settle for second best. We serve an awesome God. But the problem is, Revelation verse 3, and Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, it says that some of us, it says that the church, that some of us, man, we're that far to the left that we don't know what's right. Well, that cold were that faithless, were that empty. The Bible says that God will spew us out. He said, rather you be one or the other. Don't pretend to be on fire. Don't pretend to love God if you don't love Him. Don't pretend to stand here looking all happy and looking all blessed, and I'm too blessed to be stressed, sister, and I'm too anointed to be disappointed, and oh, praise God, going, you know, all this kind of stuff. Listen, be on fire or don't be. But the message for tonight is, take your eyes off your situation and look back to that cross. Look back to the cross that Jesus Christ died on. He died for your sins to be washed away. He died that I could be set free from heroin addiction. He died that you can overcome your situation that you're in right now. He died that you can plead the blood of Jesus over that mess right now, and it'll be washed away. He died. So when you apply that blood, apply that blood, apply that blood, apply that blood. Because what happens is, the cross loses its power. The cross loses its power. And this is what the Apostle Paul came. He said that Christ never sent me to baptize. And he wasn't belittling baptism. But the cross must be preached. The message of the cross, the bloody cross. Jesus died. Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, pierced for our iniquities. But by His stripes, you are healed. Let's stand. Father, thank you. Thank you for your precious Son, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Ghost. Thank you that you live inside us. Thank you that you are our God. And thank you that there is power in that cross. That there is power in the blood of Jesus. That there is healing in the blood of Jesus. People, there's a word in here for something. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is freedom in the blood of Jesus. There is breakthrough in the blood of Jesus. But if you're not pleading it, it has no effect. If you're not using it, it has no effect. It's like a pen and a checkbook sitting miles away. You cannot cash it if you don't write in it. You cannot use it if you don't apply it. You cannot... Hallelujah. God, let your name alone be glorified. Thank you. We love you. And we give you all the praise. And all of God's army shouted, amen, amen and amen. Well, let's see God a praise offering in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I think I've baptized that this pulpit here.